I want to share with you tonight an idea which I think is very practical and hopefully very inspiring. And as is so often the case, you know, it's an incredibly practical, applicable idea that begins in a context which seems to us to be out there. Parshas Matos opens with the halachas of promises. And one specific sort of a focus on one sub detail of the world of promises. You take a Jew takes a neder, a Jew takes a shvuah. So that's sort of the opening line in Pasuk Gimel. Ish ki yidor neder l'Hashem o hishava shvuah l'sari sara nafsho. A Jew takes a promise of some sort, a neder or a shvuah. The difference is whether I'm making a statement that I represent to be true, it's a shavuah, or I'm designating things that I own or things someone else owns as being forbidden, and that's a neder. Either way, I promise I'm going to go do this mitzvah. I promise I'm going to go run that race. You know, I take a neder against. I take a neder against having sugar until from now until Shabbos, whatever it is. I take a neder, I take a shvuah, I make a promise of some sort. So sort of the opening line, so the general idea, k'chol yotzim piv yase. That's Pasuk Gimel. Lo yachel dvaro, k'chol yotzim piv yase. You gotta honor your word, and you can't disrespect your word. You gotta keep your word. Then, so that's sort of the opening line, that strikes us as being pretty significant. Gotta keep your word. But then after, the vast majority of this opening paragraph, opening parsha of Matos, gets into what looks like, it's almost like a rabbit hole of sub details. The Torah begins to tell us, a din on the books, that there are situations where a young daughter or a married woman takes a neder and it can be undone by the man in her life. There are times when there's a rule of hafara, that there's a certain adarim, a certain shvuas, where the husband has the right to unilaterally pull the plug on it. He could nullify, he could cancel the neder. Sometimes a father could cancel his young daughter's neder. And these are dinim at the end, focused on primarily the end of Maseches Nedarim. Hafaras ha'av, hafaras haba. A lot of details. It's sort of ironic. The major topic of neder and shvu in general, for men and women alike, that doesn't get so much focus. That's sort of the opening line. But then the pasuk can get very into the details of how far it has to be the same day, and so on and so forth. When does hafar apply? When does it not apply? To which women? What sort of nadarim? A lot of details. And yet, in the midst of these details that seem so abstruse, listen to the following. Listen to the following idea, which has relevant and certain, the idea of taking neder and shvuah, that sounds to us as being particularly significant. The power of speech, respecting one's own word. But there's an even larger idea lying within the details. Rashi quotes it, and it's a medrash which appears in a Gemara as well. And the Torah says in Pasuk Vav, Im heni avio osa b'yom shamo, if the father cancels the neder on the day that he heard about it, so the neder is off, kol nederev v'asare, lo yakum, it's not valid, canceled. So he should have stopped there. Canceled, okay. So the girl took a neder against a car, girl took a neder against sugar, whatever it is, against sushi, whatever it was that she promised she wasn't going to have, but the father canceled the neder within the same day that he hears about it, so the neder is canceled, it doesn't apply. We would have thought that it ends there, but it doesn't. Instead, the psukim go on to say, lo yokum, the neder has no longer has any validity. It cuts off when the father issues his hafara. The Hashem, now here comes to sort of this curious postscript. Hashem yislachla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive her, ki eini avi osa. Because after all, the father already canceled the neder. Now, that's pretty strange, because the pasuk already told me lo yakum. the neder is canceled. It's no longer valid. So what do you mean God's going to forgive her? Forgive her for what? There's nothing wrong. The father cancels the neder. She had taken a neder against sushi. She had taken it against pretzels, against the family car, whatever it is. If the father canceled the neder, so the neder is over. So obviously now she can go drive the car. Now she can go eat the sushi because the neder is no longer valid. What do you mean Hashem yislach la? I understand. Shavas Batama just passed last week. So if I would have, obviously there were phone calls over the course of the Tanis, different medical situations. You can eat, you can't eat. Okay. Each case has to be dealt with individually. But at Thursday night, at 10 o'clock at night, the Tanis is over. So if I decide to eat after the Tanis is over, do I need kapara? Say, well, God will forgive me. What do you mean God will forgive me? The fast is over. Everyone's allowed to eat now. I mean, God's going to forgive me. Nothing wrong. What does this mean? Hashem yislachla. Why is God forgiving her? The neder has been ended by Hafaras Sa'av. And it comes up again. It comes up again later on. The Torah, once again, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, when it's talking about the capacity of a husband in certain circumstances to be made for his wife's neder. The same odd turn of phrase. The husband canceled another, so God will forgive. What do you mean God will forgive? So the Gemara in Nazir Daf Chaf Gimel comments on this second pasuk about the Hafaras Ha'av, Hafaras Habal rather, pasuk Yud Gimel. Rashi, Rav Shavel points out Rashi sounds like he's quoting one of the Midrash Halacha, one of the Sifrei, a parallel concept on the previous pasuk, on pasuk Vav. Very fascinating. Rashi gives you a briefer version. The Gemara makes it more dramatic. Rashi points out, well, you know, if at the very end of Pasuk Vav, he says, Im ha-mufarim tzrichim slicha kal v'chomel she'en mufarim. If you need kapara, even for the neder that was already canceled, all the more so for something that wasn't canceled. Okay, so clearly Rashi is already sensitive to this problem. It's interesting you need kapara. And the way Rashi presents sort of highlighting how significantly you have to take your word. All the more so if the neder is still in force and I violated my word, I had no right to do that. So that's a serious violation. You look at the Gemara in Nazir, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva used to cry when he got to this pasuk. Kshaya Magila Rabbi Akiva, it's a pasuk zeh, haya bochem. Wow, what's it a cry about? And he wasn't crying because it was difficult kasha. He wasn't crying because it was difficult kasha. He was crying for the following point. The Gemara quotes the Braisa says, how do you make sense of this? Where's the need for kapara? So the Gemara says, it must be, we're talking about a situation where she doesn't know that there already was a hafara. Her father, in the first pasuk, or her husband, in the second pasuk, had canceled the neder. He had heard about her neder, had canceled it. She hasn't yet heard about the hafara. And she goes ahead and eats the sushi, has the candy, drives the car that she thinks is still bound by the neder, not knowing that the neder's already been undone. Doing something which she thinks is wrong. The Hashem yislach la. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive her because after all, unbeknownst to her, what she did was mutter. She thought it was an isser, but in fact, it turns out that she's safe. Turns out she's scot-free. Turns out there was taka kosher. The Hashem yislach la. So Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Akiva was always a man who saw beyond the obvious. Right? You know, the famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos. And he's walking with his peers, and they walk by Harabayas, and it's so desolate, and they see the foxes are walking through, and they're crying over the depth that the Harabayas has reached, and Rekiva's laughing. Why is he laughing? The famous Gemara, Minig Yisrael, is to review this Gemara every year of Pesach, and invariably so makes the Siyam Maseches Makos. And Rekiva says, no, why are you happy? They ask, why are you happy? Why are you smiling? This is terrible. He says, and now I'm seeing mamas, the black on white. This has been one of these horrific nevuos that have been one of these tragic nevuos that we knew was going to happen. But now you really see it black on white, literally coming to pass. Shua le milchuba. that gives me renewed capacity to imagine what will be like when the happy nevuos are fulfilled before our eyes. So Rabbi Akiva was always a man who was able to see beyond the obvious. So Rabbi Akiva here says, wow. He says, you know what this is telling us? That Misha Ala Biyado, Misha Niskaven Lebesar Chazir Va'ala Biyado Besar Telet. Here's a Jew who wanted to eat a cheeseburger. It turns out that it's beyond meat. It turns out that the burger is actually parv. He thought he was chowing down on Burger King. He thought he was chowing down on Wendy. He thought it was treif. Turns out afterwards it's actually kosher. He still needs kapara. Not as much as if it actually was treif. But Hashem Yislachla. Here's a situation where this woman is engaging in some activity which she thinks is a violation of a nether. Unbeknownst to her, her father, her husband already canceled a nether. In fact, it's kosher, but she thinks it's treif, and she engages in the behavior anyways, thinking that's treif. It's actually kosher. And says Rabbi Akiva, but you see the pasuk says Hashem Yislachla. She still needs some kapara. She still needs some slicha. The power of intention. The power of intention. And there's the larger concept. I said before, you look at this parsha, where you think there's the big issue in this parsha, in the opening paragraph of Matos, is the power of speech. And it certainly is. Lo yachel devaro kachol yotzim piv yasa. But here we are, digging into the sub details, the minutia of hafaras ha'av and hafaras ha'bal. It seems so remote and abstruse. And yet, here's a large, powerful, broad concept. That it's not enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only concerned with what we do. He's concerned with why we do. It's not enough to think about the chitzonius, the actions that our hands and feet do. The panemius behind it, what's going on in my mind and heart, what's driving my action, is of critical importance. And that's what the Torah is stressing in a negative sense here. Vashem Yislacha. I did something that in fact was kosher, but I thought I was acting on ill intent. That itself is problematic. If I just was thinking ill intent, that's not necessarily something punishable. But I was acting ill intent. It turns out my action happens to have been kosher, but that was an action that was driven by ill intent. That itself is something that requires kapara. And this is something that cuts both ways. On the one hand, it raises the bar for us. We need to strive not only to do the right things, but to mean the right things. It's not enough to clean up our act. We have to clean up our intent. Not only to clean up our chitzonius, but to clean up our primus. So that's one half of it. And as Chazal tells us, Mida tova meruba mimida pranios. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us to account for improper intent, so all the more so it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu values our positive intent. I heard from Rav Twersky recently. He quoted from one of the Ger Rebbes. He said, "There's a line that many people say: Ein lecha davar ha'om mibifnei haratzon." Which usually is translated as nothing can stand in the way of will. Right? Where there's a will, there's a way. If I have a ratzon, so nothing's going to get in the way. So he said, one of the Ger Rebbes said, but it's clearly not true. I mean, empirically, it's clear that there are plenty of people who really badly want to do various things, and it just doesn't happen. And so sometimes you'll say, if you wanted badly enough, you would have gotten it. But we know it from our own lives and from many other people. There are plenty of times where I really, really want something badly, and I tried, and it didn't work. Either because, this situation beyond my control. Sometimes it was, it was DOA, and sometimes I really tried hard and looked like it was going to happen. It just doesn't happen. So what do you mean? Ein lecha davar b'fnei ratzon. What does it mean? So there could be various approaches to that question. But the Tursky quote from one of the Ger Rebbes, He said, you're translating it wrong. It does mean where there's a will, there's a way. Ein lecha davar omer b'nei ratzon means nothing's hold you back from wanting. Ein lecha davar ha'omed b'fnei ratzon. Nothing can get in the way of your will. If I want to do the right thing, it may or may not be feasible to actually see it through. If I want the right things, I need to work hard. I need to work smart, strategize how can I accomplish the right thing and work at it. And I may or may not succeed in being motzi min hakoach el hapoel, getting from the idea and the potential and realizing it. I don't always get to realize my good intentions, but nothing can hold me back from having good intentions and good plans. Ein lecha davar ha'omed b'fnei haratzon. That's something what I desire and what I want and what I dream about. That's always within my control. So that's sort of the positive side of the coin of this idea that emerges from these psukim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us to task, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, you know, not only to have proper actions, but even to have proper intentions, and improper intentions, acting in proper intentions, not as bad as doing the wrong thing, but it's something that I'm responsible for as well. All the more so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values, Rachmana Liba Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values our honest, genuine, good intentions. If I have genuinely good intentions and I'm sincere and authentic about it, obviously I'm going to seek to not let it stay mere intentions. I'm going to seek to realize my intentions. Sometimes it will work and sometimes it will not work. Sometimes it's beyond my control. Sometimes it isn't my control, but the flesh was weak and I wanted to do the right thing and the Yetzer got the better of me. And in between idea and realization, I ran out of gas. But it's important to recognize that while HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects proper chitzonius as well, having the proper pnimius, having the proper ratzon, is already something of great value that no one can take away from us. And we should be proud, we should take pride in dreaming the right dreams and planning the right plans and to seek to not only, that it not only be b'pnimius, but to seek, of course, to as much as possibly motzi min hakoach hapoel, to realize our chitzonius, but to recognize by having the right pnimius, we have already made an accomplishment that's reflected in the beginning of Parshas Matos. Chevre, thank you so much.